Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Now, we've got Mike Bradshaw here. We're going to have those the panel member photos up. And you can recognise the one in the middle. Who recognises that one from before on the stage? That's the daughter, Maddie. And Tegan, many of you know and love Tegan as well, who was a leader for many years. So Mike is here with us today. Linda, speaking of leaders, former frontline leader herself over many, many years. And so we are so blessed to have her and her husband, Tim, as well, up the back. So, yeah, we love Tim. So Tim and Linda are also wonderful young adult leaders, and we had Dan up here playing electric tonight, and that's such a wonderful thing and encouragement to us. We have them sowing into our youth ministry, but we are a family here at LMC, and what's great about this is that you guys grow up, you get to year 12, and then you graduate from Frontline, and you go to an equally amazing ministry in young adults at this church, and so we're so blessed to have you guys with us tonight, and you're sharing. And then David Odd, who has been here for longer than every single person in this room at this church. He was one of the very earliest members and also of the school, and so we're going to hear a little bit about your journey tonight, which we're so privileged and honored to have you with us here tonight as well. And so before we introduce you guys properly and you can speak about yourselves, our key scripture, who remembers where it's from this term? We can get it on the screen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Our theme is "There is more," and we're going to read this before we get into the content tonight. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask, think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's not forget that incredible scripture, and that's what we're going to be using as context around what we're talking about tonight, because we want to be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. We want to continue to be filled, and part of that, a key to that, is hearing from God. So I want to get to know you guys as well, and these guys are going to hear a little bit about your stories. And so phones away unless you're taking notes on them, because we want to be paying attention right now. So firstly, we'll start with you, Mike. How long have you followed God? How long have you been at LMC? And what are you most passionate about?
I've been at LMC now 16 years, I think. Maddie was young primary school when we came. I think it's 16 years. What was the other question, sorry?
One of them was, how long have you followed God for?
Look, I've been a Christian all my life. I grew up in the Baptist church down in Boleyn, and then moved to a church, North Boreham Baptist Church. Look, I've known God all my life in terms of following God. I made an actual commitment when I was in year 8 at our church camp at North Boreham Baptist up at Taggarty in a little house on this farm. I could still picture it today. So that's where I actually had my real encounter of giving my life to God. I've always believed in God.
And Mike, what are you most passionate about?
Sailing. I love to sail. But in terms of the godly stuff, this is one of my favourite topics. I love talking about hearing God's voice. And I'll say a bit more about that obviously in a minute. But I really love that, because everyone hears God's voice. Everyone of you here hears God's voice. You just have to learn to recognise what God's voice sounds like to you. Yeah. And I've had many times where God's really encountered me with that, and I've been able to use it, and I just love seeing that in action.
Amazing. What about you, Linda? How long have you been at LMC and been following God for?
Well, the first question, I've been at LMC for about, I think it was 13 years. I had to go do an account, but my first time at LMC was actually in a night very like this. I was sitting in a row just about there, and I was in year eight, and I can remember the end of the night bawling my eyes out, and that was the beginning of my journey here. As far as knowing my journey with God, I actually can't remember life without God. I've grown up in a Christian home, been very blessed with that. And I think a key moment for me would have been probably when I did give my life to God. I would have been about five. I still remember it. It was very, very simple, but very heartfelt. And I have never looked back. Can't imagine life without God now. What was the next question?
And what are you most passionate about?
Yes, very good. Some of you might see me if you go to church on Sundays up on the stage playing the violin. I love music, particularly the violin. That it is the best instrument. Don't let Mr. Mike Bradshaw, who plays the trumpet, he don't believe him. Violin's the best instrument. And I know I have an appreciation over here, which I did see tonight.
When Jesus returns, which instrument is going to be playing when Jesus returns?
The strings.
The trumpet.
It's true.
Go and read Revelation and tell us who's right. but that's certainly something that my heart enjoys both in life, but also worship's a particular passion of mine as well.
Great. And Dave, what about yourself? How?
Right. I've been following God for 55 years, been at LMC for 43 years. Most passionate about, in the spiritual sense, the Word of God. I just love talking to people about the Word of God. I love seeing people getting to know the Word of God and then following what it says.
Amazing, amazing. So we have such wisdom on this panel and such experience as well in hearing from God and in all aspects of faith, really. But Linda, I want to start with you. I want to start tonight with prayer. Talk to us about prayer and why is it important and why is hearing God's voice actually important to our walk?
So this is a more than a 2-minute topic that Matt's given me. I actually spent a couple of months looking into prayer. But there's a couple of key points I wanted to pull out for you guys tonight. And one of those that prayer is first and foremost a conversation. And I'm using that word very deliberately because a conversation is something that is two-way. It involves a speaker and it involves a listener. And I think that that's something about prayer, that it's that part of that relationship is that whilst one person you're speaking or God's speaking, there's always one person listening as well. And prayer is also something that is continuous. I think sometimes we think about prayer as something we do in a single moment and we might talk to God for a moment and then we might say amen and that's the end of it. But the Bible actually talks about us praying, praying without ceasing and praying continually. And I think that that conversation that we have with God is something that goes every minute of every day, which takes practice. Another thing that I wanted to bring out with prayer is that I love the way that we started with gratitude tonight. And I think some key components of prayer are that it is, first of all, it's an upwards thing. And this is, if you're writing notes, this is something you can write down. Prayer is an upwards thing where we give praise and we give thanksgiving to God. It's also an inwards thing where we might reflect, we might confess, we might discuss things with God, we might lean on his forgiveness, we might ask him for things. And it's also an outwards thing. So it's something where we're not only praying for ourselves, we're actually praying for those around us. We're praying into circumstances, praying into people's lives. And so I think that that is a really good way if it's something that's confusing for you. Prayer is upwards, it's inwards, and it's outwards. Do you want me to keep going?
If you want to, but we might keep moving as well.
All right, I think we'll keep moving.
All right, yeah. Great. Dave, I wanna hear from your experiences. So for many of you, you may have been in LMC and experienced and heard even speaking in tongues at times it's during worship and someone starts to speak in tongues and there's an interpretation and Dave actually has the gift of interpreting the tongue and hears from God in that way. Dave, I'd love to hear about your experiences when it comes to listening and hearing God's voice and any examples from different encounters you've had, because I know that you might encounter God, you know, every week on a Sunday in hearing from him, but there are also other avenues that you've experienced hearing his voice as well.
Yeah, thanks. My first term as a missionary was in Papua New Guinea, and I was at a high school there. And every year we had a what we called a community service week at the end of the year, and we'd take groups of students to different villages around the place. We took this group to a village. The week ended and I went to get the students, bring them back. On the way back, our truck broke down. In those days, I didn't wear shoes. I'm envious of Mike right now because I couldn't do that. But I didn't wear shoes, and the truck had broken down. I just said to the students who were there, right, go and find some accommodation in the nearest village. That wasn't hard to do. And then myself and another student, we had to walk back. Now, we had to walk over a mountain and then down the other side and then up quite a long way. The island we were on is a coral island, and coral is very sharp. And so walking for the first hour was okay. Hour and a half, feet started to get a bit sore, and then my feet were burning. I was in trouble. I didn't know that I could make it. And I heard God say to me, pray for a pair of shoes. Now, in the middle of the jungle, the village people don't have stores available. It's just a village and they grow their own food and all that. And in the middle of the night. And so being a man of, you know, faith, I fasted and prayed for 10 seconds. And then I said, yeah, God, I would love a pair of shoes. Okay. Just kept on the journey for a little while. And I saw this light coming towards us. Got closer and closer, and then here's a guy with a light. And saying, what are you doing walking around here? I went over the other side of the island to fish. Now, why would somebody leave that side and go to the other side to fish? I don't know. But he did. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And then he looked at me and he said, would you like a pair of shoes? Yes, please. He gave me his shoes. Now, in those days, shoes were very precious to people. Not many Papua New Guineans had them. I said, yes, they fitted, and I was able to walk comfortably there. So I heard God, and it was one of the very first times that I'd heard from him. And he said, why don't you pray? I could have dismissed it and said, ah, not out here, what's the use? But I did, and this guy came along, gave me his shoes. I never saw him again, didn't know him, didn't find out who he was. I'm convinced he was an angel.
Amazing, amazing story. I want to just ask you a quick question off the back of that. You know, God could have just given you the pair of shoes. Why do you think he asked you to pray for those shoes?
I think there are two things there. He wanted to see if I would be obedient to pray. And the second thing, that he wanted to increase my faith and my hearing from him.
So good, so good. Our God is a God of relationship. He wants relationship with us, not just to show us amazing things, but actually wants us to participate in them, which is incredible. Mike, a similar question for you. Have you got any examples of hearing from God in your walk? And also, how do you position yourself to hear from God? And how do you hear from God? And how has that perhaps changed over time for you as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Look, there's been, I couldn't even number them how many times, you know, God has spoken in the way he has to me. Can I sort of maybe put right from the outset, when I hear God speak, it's not like I hear Michael, I want you to say this like an audible voice. It's not an audible voice. It's like I get these thoughts drop into my mind and my heart starts to feel, hang on, there's something going on here. I might look at someone and I start to see some things about them. It's not like an audible voice. Now, in saying that, it doesn't mean God can't speak like that. I did have an encounter with God only once before my daughters were born where I had something very close to God speaking. I don't have time to probably unpack that now. But most of the time, it's always just these thoughts and these things drop into my mind and I've learned to recognise when they're God and when they're not. So from when I suppose for me, I heard or felt these words said to me when I was in primary school at Bulleen Baptist Church. So I was sitting at the school anniversary concert we do once a year up on this platform. I was about grade five and I saw this cross up on the wall, a white cross is illuminated, and all the rest of the church was dark because someone was singing. I looked at the cross and I just heard these words as clear as day, who will go and tell them? I had no idea who said that. It was almost audible, but it was more in my mind, but it was very moving and I started to get teary, which is probably not unusual for me, as some of you might know, but when you're grade five, that's very embarrassing in front of your mates. So I sit to trying to wipe my eyes, tears away, but at the time I didn't realise, but later on I realised that was actually God speaking to me when I was in grade five. For me, as it sort of moved on from there, I've heard God speak behind the wheel of my car. I've had some very significant moments when God's encountered me, or I've encountered God behind the wheel of my car. You think, why would that be the time when I'm driving a car somewhere? But I've had some really powerful moments with God. I've had it in the middle of teaching a class at school. I've had it walking into a supermarket, anywhere, anytime. And I say that not flippantly as if, oh, you know, just God talks to me all the time. I say it from the point of view, God wants relationship. And when God wants relationship, it's two ways. So he wants you to worship him, to love him, and to spend time with him. He wants to do the same back to you. And that's why I said, every person hears God's voice. And I'd even dare to say a lot of non-Christians hear God's voice because they want to be, he wants to be in relationship with them too. They just don't realise it's actually God speaking. I can give you some other examples of that, but I don't have time now. In terms of the question, how has it changed for me? That's a really good one because it has changed. When I first started to really experience God speaking, and I remember this vividly, I was up at Mount Evelyn, the old Care Force Church, now called Discovery, with Alan Meyer, and we were about to have this meeting, and this lady came in and sat down. There was about 15 of us, and as soon as she sat down, I started seeing all these things. My hands went really clammy, and my heart started pounding 1,000 miles an hour, and I saw all these different things about her. And then later on, the meeting started. Everything, and she starts, and then some stage during the meeting, she shared about what's going on in her life. Everything she shared, I'd seen 15 minutes earlier. And I sat there going, I never said that to her, so she never heard this story, but I sat there going, something's going on here. And from that moment forth, I started position myself to expect to hear God listen and to understand what it is. And the sign for me then when God was about to speak was my heart would start to pound. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, and my hands would get really clammy, and that was my first warning sign. Sometimes I hated it because I thought, oh no, what's going to happen next? But it was my sort of indicator. But as I grew in the gift and as I grew in faith with it, all those signs started to disappear. And then one day they literally were gone. And I thought maybe God had stopped speaking to me, but God showed me, he said to me on Monday, no, I'm still speaking to you. You don't need those signs now to know I'm speaking. I just want you to listen. And so sometimes I might get a bit of heart might go a little bit faster, but I don't get all those signs. I just start feeling what I'm feeling. And so I sort of move from there. But certainly it's something which you grow in. I think any gift you grow in, the more you use it, the more you develop it, the more you mature in it, you do grow in it like you would like any other gift. And so you just have to continue to learn to practice it and look for it.
It's great. And just quickly, like, how do you posture yourself? Like, what internally or even externally, what do you do to hear God's voice in that?
Yeah, another good question. First and foremost, the more you read God's word, and that word transforms your mind, like it talks about in Romans, it does help a lot because your thoughts and your mind start to swing over to how God wants you to think. That's the first thing for sure. The more you read God's word, it does change your life. And we know that, and we hear it many, many times, but even as an older person now, and you sit down and you just read things again, you're always getting something new out of it, and it always keeps changing you. So always, it's the word. But it's also just spending time with God and listening. Okay, and literally do this. Sit down and say, God, what would you like to say to me now? And get your pen out and just write down. If you get one sentence, and that's how I used to start, write down the one sentence. The reason why it's good to write it down is because later on you can look back on it And you might all of a sudden realize, oh, wow, God said this to me a month ago, and look, this is what's happened. Or that word I had was actually for somebody else. And then it was almost like a language. The more I wrote it down, it started to go further, and it might become a paragraph. Then it might become a page. And so that's another way too, is just to actually practice sitting down and say, okay, God, just speak to me. And just write down what you feel. Just write it down. Don't sit there and go, oh, is this God or not? Just put it down. And if you want to share it with someone like Matt or one of your leaders, go and share it and say, this is what I feel God speaking. And that's what I used to do. I'd go and ask my mum and dad, this is what I feel God saying. And they'd encourage me with that. They'd go, you know, this is great. And they'd encourage me with that. And then I'd do it with my own church leaders when I was younger up at Mount Evelyn. And that gave me the opportunity to start to develop it further. I suppose finish off with, for me now, I just am happy and expect to hear God anytime. And like I said before, it could be any moment, any day. Sometimes in the middle of the night, when I'm about to go to sleep, I just want to hear God's voice. And I suppose for me, one of my prayers I've always had is, God, I want to hear your heartbeat. So if I can hear God's heartbeat, then I can hear God. Does that make sense?
It's amazing. So good. And I encourage you, if you want to get to that point one day in your walk, it starts right now with you dedicating time. We often say, I don't know why God's not speaking to me. I can't hear his voice. And then we might ask you, well, how much time have you given him? Not you praying to him, but actually just stopping and listening to him. You might say 2 minutes. Well, we need more than that. And so my encouragement to you even now is do 5 minutes more than you did the week before when it comes to listening to God. Create space. If you haven't spent any time just listening to God, then this week do 5 minutes. If you do 10 minutes, do 15 minutes. Let's spend 5 minutes more this week practicing hearing God's voice and actually giving him the time to speak. Love it. And on that, Linda, as well, I'd love to hear your experience with how God speaks to you. But also John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And we've got to understand as well how to differentiate between our own thoughts and our own mind versus God's voice. And how do we actually know it's God speaking?
Yeah, I think that verse is a really key one to touch back to that. Why is hearing from God important? That verse is really key because, as Mike has said, it's about relationship, and hearing from God is actually just about getting to know God, getting to know who he is, getting to know his character, getting to know his truths and his promises. And that's what hearing from him is all about. And then from that understanding of who he is personally, that's when things come out in terms of the way that you treat other people, the way that you can respond to things, the way that you can find comfort, find strength. And the key part in that verse is that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. When we know God's voice, we know who to follow. For me personally, God speaks to me similar to Mike in the sense of, I call them pressure thoughts, in the sense of thoughts that over time, as I've practiced listening, I've come to know when God is dropping a thought into my mind. But God actually also speaks to me a lot through pictures. I'm a visual person, and through pictures that he might show me, I like to call it in my spiritual eyes. That's not probably very technical. But through a picture, God will reveal something and he'll be able to bring understanding to that. But a key part of all of that is actually scripture. And I really want to emphasize that as well and reinforce that. At the end of the day, knowing God's word, knowing what it says, helps us to then take those pressure thoughts, take those pictures, take that journaling, whatever, which is something I do as well. You can take all these things and then you can take it to scripture and you can say, hey, God, what does your word say about this? I've heard this. I think it might be from you. But what does your word say about that? And then you can get confirmation. Another way that we can also know that it's God's voice. The first one, again, I've bit of an alliteration girl. So confirmation is your first one, is how to know it's from God. It's God's voice.
Right.
Confirmation in the scripture. Counsel, Mike again has touched on this. Take it to someone, one of your leaders, someone in the church who is further along in their faith journey than you, and you can take it to them and chat with them about it and say, hey, I think I've heard this from God. This is what the word says about it. Can you help me with this? And another thing that really helps with me is calm. And the Bible talks about a peace that transcends all understanding. And often when I receive something from God and I know it's his voice, I have a peace in my heart that is beyond something that I would ever be able to hold on to myself. And I can know that that then is also from God. And I think something else I just wanted to touch on here is also when you're sitting there and you're listening to God, where is your heart before you start to try and listen? And I think that's a really key point as well. You might get to a point in your journey where you can listen to God at any moment and you know his voice so well. But at the beginning, the Psalms talk about being still and knowing knowing God. And I think that that's a really key part, is that actually taking that moment to be still, center your mind on God, dwell on the scriptures, get to know him, and actually know that your focus in that moment is on him. And I think that that's a really key part at the beginning. Yeah.
I love that. I love that thought. And asking ourselves where our heart is at is so important, because, you know, are we prepared to hear God's voice if it's not the answer that we want to hear? Like, sometimes we can come to God just because we want him to confirm what we're thinking. And sometimes we can open the Bible and we're actually trying to search with a particular agenda while we're doing so that it would satisfy what we're thinking, when actually a lot of the time God is wanting to challenge us on our thinking. And so asking the question of your heart.
I think at the end of the day, what is your goal when you're wanting to listen to God? What is your goal when you're wanting to hear from him? Is your goal to, is it to get an answer that you might want? Or is your goal just for relationship? And that is the ultimate purpose of listening to God, is develop a relationship with him. And if your goal in that moment is to get to know him personally, develop a relationship with him, then your heart will be in the right place.
And ultimately, when God gives you something and you hear his voice, it is always the best option. It is always the best option. Not just for you, but for everyone around you as well. Wonderful, Linda. And Dave, I'd love to hear some advice that you have for young people. You know, you've walked in the shoes of young people. You've walked in the shoes of a parent and as a follower of God over many years. What is your advice for young people trying to hear God's voice more clearly as they're growing up?
Well, we've touched on a lot of it. Motive. Why do you want to hear God's voice? Some of us can do that for personal reasons, wanting to look good or anything like that. But the pure motive is, I want to glorify God by hearing from him and then following what he says. For me, it is essential that I get rid of every distraction that will stop me from hearing. So no radio, no TV, no telephone. I just have to get by myself and just be quiet. And that for me, that means a place where I know there won't be distractions, and then I use that. And the other thing that I'm always keen to do is to tell God, I am available. If you want me to do something, I'm available. I don't care what it is, but you talk to me and I will then try to do what you have told me to do. Now, three times my wife and I heard from God about going on the mission field. If we hadn't heard from God, we would have been wasting our time. We did hear, and and we went.
Just quickly on that, Dave, how did you know it was God calling you to the mission field?
Okay, well, you do learn to distinguish, is that God's voice or is that somebody else's? You see, there are three voices you can hear. You can hear from God, you can hear from yourself, or you can hear from the enemy. But as you go and spend time, then you know it's God's voice. So I used to do a bit of an experiment with this. Like in a group like this, I would have told somebody that they had to stand up and talk, and then I'd ask everybody to close their eyes, and then that person would stand up and say something, and then I'd ask them, who was it? Well, mostly they could tell you. Why could they tell? Because they were friends, they knew that person's voice, they heard. And so that's what you've got to do with God. You've got to spend enough time to hear from him, follow. Now, don't be afraid of making a mistake. For if it's wrong, God's not going to whack you with a big stick, but he will direct you in another direction. But you just get confirmation from other people as well, Matt. And you can check it out. You know, go to a leader, as it's been said. Check it out. They can confirm it for you.
Brilliant, brilliant. And we may be thinking here tonight, like, where do I start? Like, yes, I can set aside 5 minutes of silent time and put away all the distractions, but I still don't hear anything. Well, where can I go after that to hear God's voice? Well, open his word. His word is active. It is alive. It is speaking. And so if you want to hear God's voice and you want it there, right there, then open your Bible. That's him talking to us as well. It's wonderful. Mike, I wonder if you've got any funny stories when it comes to God's voice. How does it reveal God's character as well when you encounter him in kind of like a lighthearted way?
Yeah. I saw the questions obviously earlier and I had a good think about that. Yeah, absolutely. There's been some, you may not necessarily call them funny stories, but certainly where God has shown me his sense of humour. There was a period of time there where my wife literally stopped trying to hide the present I'd get for my birthday because I already knew before I got it. And I had that on a few occasions. I'll give an example where my wife got a good mate of mine, Jay, in America, who lived in America at the time, to buy me a Palm Pilot. It's like the early versions of an iPhone almost. And then so one day I said, okay, God, what am I getting for my birthday? And I'd heard the word Palm Pilot. And so I started talking to my wife, and I'm not making any of this up, trust me, I don't. I started saying something, I must have said something. He goes, you know, don't you? And I said, yeah, I think so. And I said, what are you getting for your birthday? Palm Pilot. He goes, you rotter. And it was just simply God. And another time she was going to give me a surprise going out to do something for my birthday. I think this is when Tegan was born. And so I was sitting with Tegan in my arms, feeding her a bottle on a beanbag type of thing. And I said, okay, God, what am I doing for my birthday? And God told me. And I knew what I was doing for my birthday. And so that definitely does happen. I've had people, this one I do chuckle with, I've had people come to see me for counselling or maybe for mentoring, particularly counselling. And I had one person, a few of them have said this to me, one guy in particular came one day, he sat down, he started sharing, goes, oh, look, what the heck, I might as well tell you everything anyway because God's going to show you anyway. And I hadn't said anything yet. So the counselling session was really easy because you just blurted it all out and God hadn't said anything to me. So I just think that's sort of God's sense of humour with it too. But I suppose the one which stands out to me the most as well is I'm not a mechanical person. I can do some of the basic stuff, but mechanics has never interested me in the slightest. I give that to someone else to deal with. And anyway, I was trying to fix the chainsaw, which I had borrowed from my mum. And I was in the backyard in Mount Evelyn. My daughters were around at this stage. And I think I looked at it for about 40 minutes, started getting angry with it, going, this is a stupid piece of crap type of thing, and I can't fix it. And then I just stopped and said, God, what do I do? And he gave me the answer. 2 minutes later, the chainsaw was working. I would never have thought to do that, ever. And it was just simply, now, why does God do that? First of all, can I actually say from the point of view, or one aspect, prophetic word or word of knowledge or discernment is not the Christian fortune telling. And I want to say that really clearly because I've seen it treated like that in the past. I'm not here, but in other places, and that's not what it's all about. Okay, it's not the, okay, God, give me the, you know, the numbers for the tax lotto or give me the answer to this and that. It's not that at all. And I want to really stress that because it's all about you empowering other people, encouraging other people, strengthening other people, and bringing glory to God through that. Okay, but I think these, and I've asked God this at times, you know, why do these other funny things happen? And for me, I think the answer was it just helped me to encourage me to realise I'm actually hearing what God's saying. I'm actually realising God is talking to me, but most importantly, God actually wants to have a relationship with me. Whether it's on my hands and knees worshipping him or just out in the backyard getting frustrated with a silly chainsaw, God wants to be in relationship with me 24/7. You know, I don't go into my bedroom to encounter God because God never leaves me. I don't go to church to have an encounter with God because I'm already having an encounter with God, as we all do, because the Holy Spirit lives in here. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Right.
So I always encourage people that, you know, God's already poured out his Holy Spirit. You've already heard me say from this from the platform. He did that at day of Pentecost. His Holy Spirit's never been pulled back again. So if the Holy Spirit's there, Holy Spirit wants to dwell within us, which he does, and wants to have a relationship with us. So I just want to really encourage that with you as you develop and learn to listen to God, because everyone here, I said that before, you hear God's voice.
Yeah.
I can guarantee it. But it's just learning to go, you know what, this is all about being in glory to God. And I think God uses those funny things at times just to, you know what, I'm still here and I'm still going to do these things and I still want that to happen because it's great. I think it's awesome and, yeah, I just want to see more of it.
Amazing. And it's unique for every person. That's the amazing thing about God is he has a unique relationship with you. He has a unique side of his personality to show you as well, like that humor, what he's shown you in your life. He wants to, it's not just a generic voice. It is a specific voice.
I don't see pictures. I don't interpret tongues. I don't think I've ever interpreted a tongue, but I see it in a different way. Like I said before, sorry, Matt, but you got to learn to hear what it is for you. That's the key.
Amazing. We are enjoying this. I'm loving this. This is so good. This is such good stuff. Amazing. Linda, what are some obstacles? Because we face obstacles every day when it comes to hearing God's voice that might distract us or might take us on a different path. What are some things that we need to look out for when it comes to hearing from God?
I think Dave has really touched on a few of them already, and that's most of it is other voices that we hear. So I think your voices from your own mind, the voices from the enemy, voices from our culture, and I'm speaking specifically to social media here. There are a lot of voices that are sent into our mind and into our thoughts. So I think just learning that's something that can distract us from actually sitting and listening to God's voice. Another one is, and again, we sort of touched on this, is yourself. So that motive, that heart motive as to why you want to listen to God, we've talked about it already tonight. Is there pride in your heart? Do you want to be elevated by the way that you're from hearing from God? Is there fear in your heart? Are you afraid of what might happen? Is that why you want to hear from God and you don't trust him to be in control of a situation? Is there doubt when you're hearing from God? Are you doubting what he's saying? And I think that comes back again to that confirmation process that we've talked about already. But I think this was my number 1, 2, 3, 4 on the list of the things that might distract us. So right up the top, and that's time. At the end of the day, one of the biggest obstacles, I think, to hearing from God is time. And because hearing from God is actually, we talk about prophetic words, we talk about words of knowledge. That's actually just the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg is the time that we spend reading the word. It's the time that we spend doing what we've talked about tonight, sitting there and saying, "Hey God, what do you want to tell me today? What do you want to share with me?" And that takes lots of time, and in a world that is very hurried and busied and on to the next thing and flick to the next thing, and you're on Instagram and you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, time is not something that we intentionally take very often. And so I would encourage you that within that, if you're struggling, have a look at that. Is time something you're actually prioritizing in your week? Like Matt's already said, do you have a bit of time set aside to sit, be still, know, and just listen to God? So I think, yeah, number 1, 2, 3, 4, time, and then a few other things.
Amazing, amazing. And like there is nothing, when we really stop and think about it, what could be better than hearing God's voice? Like what here on earth, when we really think about it, like the friend sitting next to you or your phone that you might be distracted by, like what could be better than hearing God's voice? You know, God is speaking right now through these amazing people and their experiences, and he speaks to us. He wants to speak to us all the time. And yet so often we prioritize the wrong things. And so it's so important to put in the effort to make sure that those distractions and those disruptions are not things that take us away from God's voice and hearing him as well, because there is nothing better. Dave, how has hearing God's voice helped not only you, but the people around you? Because it's not just about us when we hear God's voice. And why is it important to remember that it is also about benefiting others when we hear from God?
How's it helped me? I'm going to tell you about my salvation. I was a school teacher in the education department and got a promotion to Geelong. Landed up next to an elder of a Presbyterian church. He kept inviting myself and my wife to church. No thanks, weren't interested. He persisted. So after about a year and a half of resisting, we said, okay, we'll go to church. So we started going to church. No idea of being born again or anything, just going to church. We went on a work group. You know how we send work groups to Amari? Well, we went one of those to Fiji. That was good, came back. 2 years later, went on another work group to Papua New Guinea. And in Papua New Guinea, they found out that myself and my wife were trained teachers. And they said, oh, look, we're so short, we're in desperate need of teachers. And we said, yeah, okay, not interested. They persisted and eventually wore us down. So we went to New Guinea. Now, not from a call of God, just went on good works, you know, right thing to do. Okay, we'll go. And I was there and I met this Papua New Guinea man, an ordained minister named Ben Lenteret. And one Easter, I asked Ben to come and speak at a camp that I'd arranged for our students. Now, I'd grown to love this man, and I'd invited him down to speak to us. And he came. No, he didn't. I'm in the meeting, and I'm leading some singing. And the bloke comes at the back and he sort of indicates I should come and speak to him. I went and spoke to him. He said, look, Ben was on his way down to do the service, but he's had a car accident and he's died. I loved this man. I broke down into tears. And the guy said to me, well, you'll have to go and tell all the people who are waiting. And so I had to go down to the front of that meeting and just say, look, Ben won't be here. He has died. They all burst into tears because he was a well-known, well-loved man. I didn't know what to do. 10 minutes. And then Ben walked into the meeting. Looked at him, he stood up in front of us and he said, Mum, thank you for your tears. You thought I, you know, when I died, did you ever consider that God, that Jesus died for you? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was born again there and then. Now, this man Ben, a local man, I'm a missionary, and the missionaries are supposed to be, you know, chief honcho or whatever, and yet he'd heard from God. That guy does not know Jesus in a born-again sense. And so he took that chance. He put on a drama. He hadn't died, but he, yeah, put the drama on so that we all thought that he did. And that's how somebody hearing from God has affected me. Never been the same. I just bless God. It was just... So he knew that I was so thick-headed that he had to do something dramatic to get through. And he did. And I just praise God. And so what came out of that? 23 years on the mission field, able to lead groups in home groups, time in Oxley College, all of that because one man heard from God, was obedient and courageous enough to follow through.
Wow, wow, amazing. If any of you pretends to die here at Frontline, I'm already saved. Don't do it, all right? But what an amazing story. What an amazing story. And it goes to show, like, we never know who God puts in our path, but there are people in our path that he wants us to hear his voice for and be the one that steps out and makes a difference in their life, an eternal difference, which is greater than any other. Mike, as we finish, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about your spiritual gifting, because it has a little bit, I think, you know, in terms of hearing from God and hearing words from God as well. When did you realize your spiritual gift? How did you begin exercising this? And actually, you know, I think you might have a couple of words which you might want to give out as part of this as well.
Yeah, happy to do that for sure. Look, as I said, looking back, I realized in that when I was in primary school, that little encounter, that was God speaking. When it really, I suppose, impacted me the most was we had a prophet come over from New Zealand, actually forget his name, a number of years ago, and I'd been experiencing all these different things, but I didn't really understand what it was. So I would have been probably in my early 20s by that stage, mid-20s, and when he came and shared for the very first time, and he shared his journey about what the prophetic was like for him, pretty well everything he shared I had experienced. And it was almost like this massive revelation, oh my goodness me, I'm not a fruitcake. This is actually real, it's actually happening. And that's what really triggered it for me in particular. And that's what led me to go and want to start to understand it more. Very, very quickly, I found for me, I didn't get a lot of education, if I can put it that way, on it. It was something I almost had to learn on the job and do, and in talking to people as much as I could. I didn't get these opportunities like you guys have to listen to other people's stories. So I often felt like I was hanging out on a limb, but God just used that and just gave me opportunities to continue to develop with that way. So it was great. So did you want me to say some things now, did you?
Yeah, potentially. I think, you know, we've heard a lot of stuff tonight and a lot of information. And what we want to do is we don't just want to know information, but we want to actually be able to act it out and act upon this. And there's so many things that these guys have given which enables us to be able to act tonight on what we have heard. And it's our responsibility. When we hear from God, when we hear God's word, it's our responsibility to do something with it as well. And what I'd like to do before maybe you give the words, what I'd love us to do is just to stand where we are. And you guys maybe could stand with us, and I might get one of you to pray in a moment. But just stand quietly where you are. And I just want us to close our eyes for a moment. Just closing our eyes. Or if you're happy to, even just hold out your hands in an act of surrender right now. We're holding out our hands right now in an act of an illustration of our heart and our response in what we've heard tonight. That God, we want to hear from you. God, we want to hear your voice. Father God, right now I pray that you would help my heart, Lord, to be soft to receive the things of you, to set aside every distraction. God, I've seen you move, whether it be seeing you move in other people's lives or see you moved on my own. Lord God, you are moving and we thank you for that. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are speaking. And right now we want to set aside every distraction and make ourselves available to you. Lord, we are available. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Dave, I wonder if you would just pray for us tonight just as we're in this moment.
Father, it is a privilege to know you, to hear from you, to be a person chosen by you. Lord, my heart just wells up in gratitude. When I see all these young people before you, they love you, Lord. So my prayer is that you will make yourself known more and more in very real ways, in ways that each one can understand. And Lord, that they will be beacons of light in this community. They'll be that light on the hill that others can look to when they've got problems, when they've got don't know where to turn, when they're just lost. God, we know that because you have touched each one of our hearts, that we have just an advocate. We have a person that we can call on. So, Father, help each precious person here to hear from you more and more, to hear clearly, and, Father, to have the courage to obey what they hear. Lord, let your blessing be on the leaders here. Let your blessing be on each individual as they follow you for the rest of their lives. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.